Time magazine columnist Joe Klein is out with a new book that examines a tough question: what do returning veterans do when they return home and still want to serve their countries? Joe's written a new book, Charlie Mike, A True Story of Heroes Who Brought Their Mission Home, that looks at two veterans and their work forming an organization called The Mission Continues, which provides paid public service fellowships for wounded vets. One of the veterans at the center of this book is Eric Greitens, who happens to be a Republican candidate for governor here in Missouri. Joe Klein is one of this nation's foremost political writers. One of his seven books was the number one bestseller, Primary Colors. He's worked for Newsweek and as Washington correspondent for The New Yorker. He's also a former Guggenheim Fellow. And Joe, it's great to have you back on the show. Welcome.
Good to be here, Steve.
Well, the title of this book, Joe, is Charlie Mike. What does that mean?
Well, in military radio jargon, it means continue the mission. This is a book about veterans who come home, and an estimated like 90% of our veterans come home and want to continue their missions. They want to continue helping their communities, working in them, which is unprecedented. It may be a result of the fact that 100% of them volunteered.
What drew you to this story, you know, so powerfully, Joe? What is it about The Mission Continues that got your attention the way it did?
Well, I wouldn't be sitting here if I hadn't been over there. I went to Iraq and Afghanistan at a fairly ripe old age and embedded with the troops, and I saw them doing things that and using skills that American troops hadn't used before. They were actually governing towns. And one day I was watching a young captain negotiate with an Afghan landholder for oversight rights, the ability to put our troops on his property. And I said to myself, if this guy can do this under fire in a different language, in very difficult circumstances, he can probably go home to Iowa. He was from Iowa, and run for governor. I hadn't even thought about Eric Greitens at that point.
Right.
But I decided to come home. When I came home, I decided to see what a lot of our troops were doing when they came home, and I ran into the story of Eric Greitens, and The Mission Continues.
Author and Time magazine columnist Joe Klein is my guest. Joe, you wrote about another set of veterans adjusting to life after war back in the 1980s. That book was titled Payback, and it looked at five vets as they struggled to return to civilian life after Vietnam. Now you're looking at this new generation of veterans. How do the two situations, the two predicaments, compare?
Well, they are very, very different. I mentioned the major difference before. This generation veterans are all volunteers. A lot of them volunteered on September 12th, 2001. The Vietnam generation were draftees. Many of them were opposed to the wars, to the war that they were sent to fight. They were sent over as individuals, not as units. And so they didn't build the kind of sense of community and coherence that our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan built. And that is a crucial part of this book. What I began to realize, within a couple of years of starting the interview process, was that post-traumatic stress, which we hear about an awful lot, isn't only the result of the things that they saw and did downrange in Iraq and Afghanistan. It's also the result of being part of a tight, purposeful community, being part of something larger than yourself, and then all of a sudden leaving the military and being on your own. As one of the Mission Continues fellows put it, she said that she had deployed herself to Camp Couch. And I think that the thing that I learned, the most important thing I learned in writing Charlie Mike, was that we have a lot to learn from these veterans about continuing our own missions and also keeping, restoring a sense of community in this country, which we've kind of lost.
And so the biggest struggle then, Joe, that these veterans face is what? Or does it simply depend on which veteran we're talking about here?
Well, it depends on which veteran we're talking about, but I think that they have a lot of things, that all of them have a lot of things in common. And the biggest thing is the need to be part of something larger than themselves. I go out on Mission Continues community service projects, and Team Rubicon is an organization that does disaster relief, and they go out on deployments. And what I see there when the troops get back together is a real feeling of euphoria. People just feel great being able to help other people, not being fired upon, not having to kill anybody. And they provide an example for their communities.
Tell us about one of the guys you write about in here, a man named Clay Hunt.
Mm-hmm. Well, Clay was the best friend of Jake Wood. Mm-hmm. Jake and another Marine sergeant started Team Rubicon by going down to Haiti after the earthquake. And within 3 days, because of their military skills and their efficiency, they were running the largest emergency room in Port-au-Prince. And Clay came down and helped out with that. And he had been having problems when he came home. He had classic post-traumatic stress problems. Over time, he tried to go to college. He couldn't do it. He had a traumatic mm-hmm. brain injury as mm-hmm. well. And eventually, Clay committed suicide. His best moments were when he was deployed, especially in Haiti, several times by Team Rubicon. And the importance in this book is that Clay's death mobilized both the Mission Continues and Team Rubicon to change their programs to deal with the reality that a lot of vets were coming home with these sort of psychological problems. But I have to say that while, you know, Clay pulled the trigger, and it's a tremendous tragedy, there are a number of people, other people in this book, who don't pull the trigger. Mm-hmm. One of them, Mike Pereira, mm-hmm. Put a gun in his mouth and decided at the last minute not to do it. And now he lives in St. Louis. He was the fellowship director for the Mission Continues. He's gotten a PhD in sociology and psychology, and the topic of his thesis is post-traumatic growth. He believes that if you go about the reentry process in the right way, you can grow as a human being. And the latest on Mike Pereira is that he just got a full ride scholarship to medical school.
Wow.
So, I mean, you hear a lot about the Clay Hunts in the world. You hear a lot about veterans who commit suicide, who live under railroad bridges, who are drug addicts, who beat their wives. But they are a minority, a very small minority. And there are an awful lot of people like Mike Pereira who are coming back and not only building valuable lives, but also leading the rest of us.
Joe Klein's new book, Charlie Mike, A True Story of Heroes Who Brought Their Mission Home. You know, our country pays homage to veterans all the time. At least that's how it seems anymore. But when you dig past the surface, is it doing enough, Joe, or even close to enough?
Well, I think that there's this magical transformation that occurs. When you're in the active duty military, you're seen as a warrior and a hero, and then you come home and you're seen as a veteran. And we say, thank you for your service. But a lot of people really think, wow, they're a bunch of basket cases, and I don't think I want to hire one because he's going to come in and shoot up my office. Mm. What Eric Greitens did, one of the major insights that he had, and I think a very important sentence, was when he was going up and down the wards in Bethesda Naval Hospital, he would thank the severely wounded kids there for their service, but he would also say, we still need you. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I've found in covering these folks, and, you know, I spend a lot of my time, Steve, in Washington, which is depressing as hell, but covering these kids is the exact opposite of it. These are people who really, you know, who we really do still need because they have a sense of purpose, and they have this military sense of values, of morality and efficiency. And when you see them out, when you see Team Rubicon out in a, you know, disaster relief site, as I did after the Oklahoma tornadoes, you know, the other charitable groups kind of gravitate to them and say, what should we be doing to help? I mean, these are natural leaders.
So Eric,
it's a real resource we have.
You mentioned Greitens, and we're back to your book here. How does the mission continues work, Joe? What does it do exactly?
Well, it has evolved since the book was published. When Eric started it, what he wanted to do was give six-month public service fellowships to wounded veterans. If you're a veteran and you've been hurt, and you can find in your community a sponsor like Boys and Girls Clubs or Habitat for Humanity or so on, then the Mission Continues will pay you for 20 hours of work per week for that organization. Over time, especially after Clay Hunt committed suicide, Mission Continues added a personal development curriculum that helps veterans adjust to their new circumstances and to being part of a society that doesn't require all that much from them. There have been more than 1,500 Mission Continues fellows, but in recent years, they've expanded it to people who aren't qualified to be full-time fellows or haven't gotten their act together enough to do it or don't have the time, and they have service platoons in various cities that not only include Iraq and Afghanistan veterans, but also Vietnam veterans, wives and widows of veterans, civilians. In fact, they just drafted my wife and my daughter-in-law to help on an arts project that a service platoon is doing in the South Bronx in New York. Hmm. It's a remarkable movement.
Hey, I was a little surprised. Are there other organizations like the Mission Continues around the country, Joe?
Well, there aren't that many. There are more now than there were. The Mission Continues was the first. Team Rubicon is very big in that way. There are other veterans organizations. There's one group in North Carolina called Purple Heart Homes that builds homes for disabled veterans, mm-hmm. not just Iraq and Afghanistan veterans, but also Vietnam veterans. You see in this generation, it's a really amazing thing. This desire to continue to serve, to Charlie Mike, to continue the mission.
Now, the other person you spotlight in the book, you've already mentioned Jake Wood, who's a University of Wisconsin grad. He's a natural leader, as you described him, and he's organized something called Team Rubicon. And that's the group that went down and did the work in Haiti. What else does Team Rubicon do, Joe?
Well, they are now doing, at first they were just doing international projects. Now they do national and international projects. They were spectacular during Hurricane Sandy in New York. 350 Team Rubicon volunteers, and there are now more than 32,000 Team Rubicon volunteers,
wow.
veterans who go into these disaster situations. 350 of them in New York organized 10,000 civilians, some of them friends of mine, to help people who had suffered during the storm in the Rockaways and in New Jersey. They're out there in South Carolina after the most recent floods. You name it. Whenever there's something happening in the world, you know, when there's an earthquake in Asia, they're there. It's a remarkable organization that now is receiving support from Red Cross, Home Depot. You know, when you go to a Team Rubicon deployment, you go to the local Home Depot, and it's good to have a shout out here to those guys because they're doing great work. They give their parking lot over to Team Rubicon, which sets up tents mm-hmm. and raises a flag. And Home Depot gives them all kinds of earth moving equipment and wheelbarrows and chainsaws. I'm kind of an old guy, so I'm a wheelbarrow guy. it's very inspiring to watch.
We'll put links to these organizations' websites up on our website later on today. Just go to kcur.org/up-to-date. So how did Jake Wood meet Eric Greitens, Joe?
Well, Clay Hunt, the fellow who we talked about before who committed suicide, saw a story about Eric Greitens and the Mission Continues in, I think it was Outside Magazine. And the two organizations were competing for a grant in Los Angeles. And Mike Pereira from the Mission Continues heard the pitch of the guys from Team Rubicon and said, wow, if there were ever perfect candidates to be Mission Continues fellows, it's Jake Wood, Clay Hunt. William McNulty III of them couldn't join because he wasn't wounded. But he would have been perfect, too. And in fact, now non-wounded veterans can join. The mission continues.
How did their service change Eric Greitens, who's a candidate for governor in Missouri, and Jake Wood, Joe? What was the impact of their service on them?
Well, I think that for Eric, it's a really fascinating story because he was a stone humanitarian all of his life. He started doing public service projects when he was a student at the St. Louis Jewish Community Center. And he then started going to refugee camps around the world. And at one point, he was in a refugee camp in Rwanda, and he saw all these kids with their arms and legs chopped off by machetes and scars and just a terrible, terrible situation. And he said to himself, the innocent of the world need moral protection. And so he became a Navy SEAL. And he's probably the only Navy SEAL who ever worked for Mother Teresa. But he became his reason for joining the military was service to begin with. That's what he was about. And with Jake Wood, it was very much the same thing. He was inspired. You know, he was a University of Wisconsin football player, mm-hmm. and he was very much inspired by the story of Pat Tillman, who left the Arizona Cardinals,
right.
Went to war in Afghanistan and was killed in a friendly fire incident. And so the first thing Jake did, and he was dean's list at the University of Wisconsin when he got out of college, was to try and get himself recruited into the Marines. He couldn't make it as an officer because he had been wounded too many times as a football player.
Wow.
But he did sneak in as an enlisted man.
You know, you paint a glowing picture of Eric Greitens in the book. In fact, I wrote about the two of you in the book in a column just a few weeks ago. Would he be a good governor?
Well, that's hard to say.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that he's new to this. And in my experience, politicians make the best politicians. But I do think that the qualities of service and the qualities of mind that he brings to this are incredibly impressive. I believe that Eric and many other members of his generation, people like Jake Wood, are going to be the next great generation of political leaders that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm a columnist. I don't endorse candidates. As an author and as a friend, I think Eric Greitens is one of the most impressive people I've ever met.
Now, I've got to ask you before I let you go, you're watching the 2016 presidential race so closely, and there are so many storylines here, but none is bigger than Trump, Trump, Trump. It never seems to go away. Is this guy headed for the Republican nomination, Joe?
Well, it's impossible to tell. I mean, this is my, God help me, 11th presidential campaign. And you go to Iowa and you go to New Hampshire, as I'm sure you have, Steve,
mm-hmm.
and those people are ornery. You know, they're saying one thing now, and then they'll be saying another thing after the new year, and then they say three more things during the last week of the campaign. So it's hard to tell whether Trump will prevail. I do think that he represents a frightening tendency in the country, and almost the exact opposite of the guys I write about in Charlie Mike, who are, you know, alpha citizens. They're yeah. High character voters. Trump represents a lot of people who just don't pay very much attention and are really just angry about the way things are. And he exploits that in a demagogic way. And their numbers are probably not a majority of the public, but a significant minority. And it's really hard to do democracy if people aren't paying attention. It's really hard to do democracy without citizenship. And the thing about Eric Greitens and Jake Wood and all the other characters in Charlie Mike is they see citizenship as something that's active. It's not yeah. something that's passive, where you just sit on the couch and you might stir yourself to go down and vote on election day, or you might not. Yeah. It's really important. You can't do democracy without citizenship.
I mean, do you think any Republican candidate on the face of the earth can pull the party together at this point? Or is the party too fractured, too many candidates, too much dysfunction? What do you think?
I think both parties are in some trouble at this point. in part because of the citizenship deficit. The Republicans, I think, of the candidates who are out there now, someone like Marco Rubio, who is a conservative but also has lines out to the extreme right in the party, might be able to galvanize the entire party. I think that there are, after this campaign, a fair number of Republicans who are going to be disappointed, no matter which way it goes. And especially if it goes towards someone like Donald Trump or Ted Cruz, you have the whole moderate establishment wing of the Republican Party that's going to be very wary. I mean, just listening to John McCain talk about Ted Cruz, and I can't imagine how John McCain could vote for him. I can't imagine how John McCain could vote for Hillary Clinton either. But I think that the Republicans, this is a really fascinating moment for the Republican Party. And I think that over the next few months, and we should be patient about it and not make too many predictions, over the next few months, we're going to see what this party is going to be in the future, and whether or not there's going to be such a significant rift that it becomes two different parties.
And some of that might apply to the Democrats, too, whether the liberal wing can live with Hillary Clinton going forward.
Well, I think that the Democrats have another problem, and that is, in part, Hillary Clinton has really moved to the left on a number of issues. She used to be a proponent of education reform, and now she's speaking out against charter schools, in part because the teachers' unions have supported her. There's an awful lot of identity politics going on in the Democratic Party. And the Democrats' problem is that they need to create a message that relates to all Americans, not just African Americans, Latino Americans, women, LGBT voters. And all too often you hear, when you hear Democratic candidates talk, they're speaking to specific constituencies rather than to all of us. Hmm. That's a problem that Hillary Clinton's going to have in the general election. I assume she's going to be the nominee. And she'll have some other problems, too, like the Clinton Foundation, which won't be an issue here, but I think like Bain Capital was 4 years ago for Mitt Romney, right. It will be an issue in the general election.
Joe Klein's new book, Charlie Mike, A True Story of Heroes Who Brought Their Mission Home. And Joe, it's been a pleasure. Sure appreciate the time.
Okay, I'll see you in Iowa.
You bet, Joe. Take care.
Okay.